President Trump made another statement on one of his campaign promises yesterday. At his first national prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C., he vowed to remove a barrier between churches and political activity. That's the 1954 Johnson Amendment, which essentially bans church leaders from endorsing or openly supporting candidates. Joe Feeden stepped down last year after 3 decades as senior pastor at Cedar Park Church, one of the largest churches in Washington. He told KUOW's Kim Malcolm he was still able to participate in politics, but only to a point.
I pretty much did what I wanted to do, in actual fact. The only thing I didn't do was actually endorse candidates from the pulpit, but I was personally active in politics. I mean, I ran the campaigns for several presidential candidates. I worked on the campaigns of senatorial candidates for probably 25 years. I've endorsed for most of the elected offices in Washington state. So in actual fact, the only thing I didn't do was I just didn't do it from the pulpit.
Did you feel that you were restrained by that federal restriction on endorsing from the pulpit?
Yes, I think that's what it does prevent, is that public endorsement. The problem with this particular piece of the federal code is not if you understand it correctly, it's if you don't understand it. So there's many churches who say they shouldn't get involved in anything political because of this code. They might lose their tax-exempt status, but they don't understand the code. But there's a whole bunch of people out there on the left that regularly, pretty much every election cycle, contact churches and tell them they cannot be politically involved. And they basically count on pastors not knowing what the actual code is in order to silence them and keep their voices from being heard.
Your politics tend to lean right. Are you saying that you would then welcome more engagement from churches that might lean left?
You know, the law applies to everybody, not just right or left. You know, I think particularly about the inner city black churches. You know, Hillary Clinton has, you know, preached, so to speak, or spoken at many of these churches over the years. And that's about as clear an endorsement as you can get. But that happens all the time, but just nobody goes after them.
Pastor, if we were to continue following this into the future and imagine a scenario where the restrictions were lifted and all organized religions could participate in partisan politics, how okay would you be, for instance, with synagogues getting more involved in partisan politics and Muslim congregations as well?
That'd be awesome. I think everybody should. I don't see any problem with that. I don't see why because you're a church, you should be muzzled from political speech. I mean, I think that's what freedom of speech is actually all about. You get a chance to say what you want to say.
If you feel really strongly about advocating politically and making political endorsements, why not just give up the tax exemption?
Churches pay many taxes. The churches I pastored, we probably paid a couple hundred thousand dollars in tax every year. Pay property tax, for example. A church gets 5 acres tax exempt, and after that, you pay the tax just like everybody else. The only one you don't pay is federal income tax. And, of course, even if we were taxed, we wouldn't pay anything there because we don't really make a profit. The idea that churches don't pay taxes, only people who don't know anything about churches believe that.
Joe Feeden is pastor emeritus at Cedar Park Church in Bothell. He spoke with KUOW's Kim Malcolm. They're speaking about a possible lift of a ban on church leaders from endorsing or openly supporting candidates.
Earlier today on KUOW's Morning Edition, we heard from a conservative pastor who likes President Donald Trump's idea to remove a tax barrier between nonprofits like churches and partisan political activity. But Mark Marcouli, Dean of Theology at Seattle University, told me that he and others in the religious community have big questions about whether that's a good idea.
And one of the reasons that this law ended up coming about was that it was an attempt to create a protective barrier between political lobbying groups and organizations that are very partisan in nature from being able to turn churches and nonprofit charitable organizations into kind of a money laundering, tax shelter, pass-through type of a mechanism for trying to achieve their political goals. If the Johnson Amendment was eliminated and some of the other legislation that it builds upon in regards to the tax status of charitable organizations. There would be almost no difference between political oriented lobbying organizations and all these charitable organizations, and the chaos that would create in our culture would be significant.
So if the law were to be changed, how do you think churches and other groups would react?
I think what I'm more concerned about would be how people that have political ambition and organizations that have a partisan agenda would use churches being able to try to push for different types of political objectives. That's my concern, and that was actually the original concern of the Johnson Amendment on the when Lyndon Baines Johnson actually presented it on the floor back in the summer of 1954.
Mark, politics have become increasingly polarized in our country and our national life. Given that, how should organized religion be involved in politics today?
The First Amendment is actually the first freedom that's listed in the First Amendment is religious freedom. And I think the founders had a very clear idea that for those of us who come out of a faith orientation, we have a higher power, a horizon, a vision of life that can look beyond any given political leadership's agenda, and I think that's been healthy for the country overall through the years. For those of us who are faith-based, you know, I think the values that we have a right to bring it into the public square just like anybody else. I think that with or without the Johnson Amendment, you're always going to find people of faith and their organizations trying to struggle to bring some of those more positive values into play and make them operational in the culture. And if you'll notice, I'm trying to avoid using the term conservative or liberal because I think that it's kind of a shorthand for grouping people. This really isn't just a conservative liberal issue. Lifeway, which is a Christian polling firm, did a survey in 2015, and they found out that 79% of Americans believe that clergy should not endorse candidates during worship services. The survey also found that only 25% of evangelicals said that they would be able to do so. So really, even within the evangelical community, which is often portrayed as just conservative, only 25% of the people thought that a pastor should be able to use the pulpit as a political kind of a platform. When President Trump made his comments at the prayer breakfast on Thursday morning, the Baptist Joint Committee for Religious Liberty immediately issued a statement, and the way they put it was that they were concerned that the repeal of the Johnson Amendment would kind of quote unquote usher our partisan divisions into the pews and harm the church's ability to provide refuge from those divisions.
Mark, finally, some critics would say that dropping this amendment would lead to the erosion of the separation of church and state. Are they right to be concerned?
Yeah, I think they are, and precisely for the reason that we discussed earlier. If they drop this amendment, there is a possibility that churches and faith-based organizations and other charitable organizations could end up becoming political lobby group organizations, and there's much less oversight over churches than charitable organizations. So how that money is being used, where it's coming from, is going to be much less monitored than it would, say, for a PAC. And I just think it's a bad idea to allow churches to become political action committees.
Mark Marcouli is Dean of Theology at Seattle University. KUOW continues to look at how the Trump presidency will affect the Puget Sound region. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, KUOW Public Radio.